This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida. And I am Jamie Jennings.
I'm right here. I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening. Good job imitating me, by the way.
No problem.
Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 10th, episode 1539, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
Monday, can't trust that day.
I didn't know.
Well, it's your fault, so...
Behind our masks, we're perfectly ordinary people.
And now, our perfectly unordinary host, Jamie Jennings.
Really? Just remember, my friend, that payback can happen.
And Glenn the Geek.
I'd have to get new tights.
Well, good
Forgot.
Morning.
You have to have your mic on.
Yes.
It's like I haven't done a show in forever.
I thought you fell asleep. I thought she fell back asleep.
I'm back.
Well, we're here, everybody. We did not blow off the face of the earth here in Ocala. Unfortunately, along the coast, things were a little bit different. We actually skated this one. It stayed far enough off that we just got a little bit of wind and a little bit of rain. The one that we had where we lost power, the hurricane that came up the Gulf, we actually fared worse than that one. This was most strange in that it didn't have a ton of thunderstorms and tornadoes and stuff like a lot of hurricanes. This one was lacking thunderstorms, which was really kind of different. As usual, it's not the wind that does the most damage, it's the water. And we have a couple of guests. Jennifer's going to tell us about that coming up today to talk about that along the coast in the Carolinas and your home state of Georgia.
And I have so many family members on the east coast of Florida, so it was definitely a rough weekend for them, and certainly for the ones that love them and are far away.
And they're right on the coast. They're real close. So,
like my family's in St. Augustine.
Yeah, which is right on the water.
Right on the water.
Yeah, and they didn't get it even as bad as they did in the Carolinas. So it was it was a bit of a messy weekend for everybody, and we're thinking about all of you that were affected by it and the horse people. We're gonna get more reports on that as the show goes on, and Jennifer's gonna tell us about that right now.
Coming up on today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, Julie Phillips, who lives in Longs, South Carolina, and Auditor Mona Wheeler are both going to provide updates on the aftermath of Hurricane Matthew. And then mid-show, we're going to get a grooming tip from world-class groom Emma Ford. And as is our usual habit, the Wacky World of Horse Station is going to stop by. And they're going to have the latest in snarky headlines that feature equestrians instead of presidential candidates. And at the finish, Yvonne Bartow of KYB Dressage is going to give us an update on how things are going with 72. The story of a loser. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you. Full show today, and I'm happy to announce to everybody that 3 weeks from tomorrow, the national nightmare will be over.
Is that really? That's
isn't
that's
it the first Tuesday in November? The second?
I don't know. I am too.
October
is my favorite month. Okay, and otherwise, I would say, can I just go to sleep and wake up once this whole thing is over? I'm so over it.
Me too. Me too. And, you know, this was the first morning we woke up to actually cool temperatures to where I had to put on a jacket. First morning in Florida with cool temperatures. That was nice. That was very, very nice. I enjoyed that a lot. Well, I have a multi-part Daily Winnie here today. The first part of it is, and I don't have the wedding music. I should have wedding music ready to play. Congratulations to Helena and Buck, who got married in a pop-up wedding in Newport on Friday, actually. Helena,
how awesome.
Yeah, this was really cool. Helena, of course, host of the Stable Scoop show and met Buck 3 or 4 years ago. And longtime listeners of the Horse Radio Network and Stable Scoop will know, I mean, you went through a marriage, a divorce, and then now a remarriage with Helena and lived through that whole thing with Helena week after week and Helena and I in the Stable Scoop show. So we're very happy for her. Buck is a really nice guy and really good for her. And I think she's good for him, too. They did a pop-up wedding, which I had never heard of before.
I don't even know what that is.
Well, like, you know how you had your wedding on the beach, but you planned it on the beach? And, you know, I don't know if you had to, like, rent a place or what? But they just went to the park in Newport with their 10 friends and family and showed up with the minister and had a pop-up wedding. In other words, no plan, no reservation. They just showed up at the park and had a wedding.
I would like to say that I filled out all the necessary paperwork to get married on the beach. And
so you had a pop-up wedding too, actually.
And things I was supposed to do, but they were closed on the Friday I went. I was like, I'm getting married tomorrow. How am I supposed to?
So technically, you had a pop-up wedding.
I kind of had a pop-up. I didn't know that I had a pop-up wedding, but I did.
Yeah, it was. I saw the pictures. It was very pretty. And then they went in Newport and had a big party. They had reserved a room at one of the restaurants there and had a big party at one of the restaurants. So it was a very Helena and Buck thing to do. So congratulations to them. We're very happy for
they really
for
rushed the into family. It, huh? 3-4 years.
Yeah. I mean, they took their time and well, you know, I think it's a second for both of them. So just making sure they got it right this time.
Yeah.
And I hope they did. I think they did. All right, here we go. The second part of my daily wedding. His whinny seems to get longer every time I play that. happy birthday to Kayla Mueller, Nikki Lambert, and Melody Hollis. All auditors, actually. And it's their birthday either yesterday, today, or tomorrow. So somewhere in here it was their birthdays. Kayla, unfortunately, I was talking to her. She got hurt again. She's been having a tough year. She had a broken leg, I think, when she was in Florida last year. And she fell off and hurt another part and couldn't ride for a while. So we just wish her the best. You'll be back in the saddle in no time, Kayla, kicking butt in the eventing world. But, you know, it seems to go in phases that way, right? You know that. It seems to go in phases. And she says, this is the third one. I said, well, you're good for a couple years now.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it does seem to go in phases, that whole getting hurt thing when you're around
Mine
horses.
Is, I tend to break something once a year. Just once a year.
Well, I'm not going to ask you when the last time was because I want to jinx you, okay? So
I just got the boot off. I don't want to talk about it.
I'm not going to bring it up. All right. Oh, wait a minute. Wrong one. Let's do this one.
Thank you for not playing that Winnie again. Glenn, have I ever met Dr. Wendy?
I don't think you have in person.
I feel like I've met her and I feel like I know her. But
she's
in
Phoenix
not.
Right now.
Guess what?
What?
She's coming to my house
is
in a
she?
Couple hours. Yeah.
Really? So. I told her you weren't too far out of town.
Now she's coming to visit me. Correction. She's coming to visit Lucky and my chickens. That's pretty much what she said.
Did she ask for a trail ride?
She has not, but I'll happily give her
well,
one.
Well, she said something about your Mustangs, so I'm kind of thinking she's hoping you'll volunteer that.
Oh, that's just taking your life into your own hands right there.
She's a pretty good rider, by the way. She's not only a good driver, she's a pretty good rider.
That's funny. Yeah, no, I didn't, she hasn't mentioned anything about a ride. I'll just tell Lucas we'll be back. Hey, hang out. We'll
yeah, just
back.
Stay here. Here, stay here, take Lucky for a walk.
Yeah. Follow us. Come on.
I'm so excited she's coming over. I don't believe you two have ever met in person.
I feel like I met her at your house in Lexington for like a minute. But she's kind of the person that you feel like you've met before.
Oh, yeah, because,
because
when you even listen to her, you're instantly her friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
She's one of those people. Yeah.
So there you go. So thanks for
I'm so excited about that.
I know. I guess Dr. Kyle is here doing a human acupuncture course, which of course then I volunteered to lay on the ground and take whatever needle into my hip joint that you want to throw.
Lower back, hips,
well, let
shoulders.
Me give you a piece of advice. Is Dr. Kyle coming along?
I don't know.
Because if he's not coming along and it's just Wendy, do not let her. I've heard bad stories about her doing human human acupuncture. So it hasn't gone well on the couple people she's tried it with. So
okay, well, good to know.
Now, if she piece gets the advice. Needles out and wants to stick your horses, you're fine. But don't let her stick you.
Sounds good.
Just a friendly warning. I am very glad you guys get to get together today.
I know. Cool. I'm so excited. My house is a mess. My life is a disaster. And you know what? Come on in.
But you know what? Wendy's life has always been kind of that way, too. So you two are going to get along perfectly.
Jennifer, I can't believe you didn't just save that audio of me saying... My house is a disaster.
Mark that down.
My life is a mess. Come on in.
That'd be about 17 minutes, Jennifer. Mark that down. Yeah.
Got it.
Oh, you know who we haven't heard about lately?
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder the God of Thunder, Mighty Thor.
You know, I like named him Mighty Thor, the Mighty Thor, and is his actual show name because of that song.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
He's registered as that. Not that I'll be showing him anytime soon, but you never know. I have a Thor. Thor is undergoing some life changes.
Well, and let's remind new listeners that Thor was the first Mustang that Jamie got it from the prisoner auction.
Yes. And he was a big challenge, like total runaway kind of horse, like walk, trot, canter, gallop. Run into the fence. That was his specialty. And Thor in his life, as you guys may know, I'm an inventor and I like to jump things, jump all the things. That's what I want to do. And Thor has proven that he is not a jump all the things kind of horse. He is a one-man wrecking ball. And you just can't make him jump, you know? And so I started kind of looking at him conformationally, and really he's not built to jump. His fetlocks on his hind legs are set pretty far behind his hooves. So the pasternaxis is not very good. So he's predisposed to suspensory desmitis. So I think that any jumping would probably exacerbate that. Plus the fact that he just really sucks at it.
Once they learn they can just demolish him and it's easier and they really don't mind the pain, then you're screwed.
Yeah. He's like, I don't care. I'll take it. I'll take a pole in the chest. I don't care. So I just, you know, you have to listen to your horse. So I decided to start teaching him tricks. So I've taught him to smile and he's learning the Spanish walk and I'm trying to teach him to lay down. And, you know, he's super happy for a cookie. He loves treats. He's just a really easy horse to be around now that Monty Roberts helped me with the bolting thing. That's gone. So I've decided that Thor needs a job and I'm going to, number one, I'm going to try to make him a lesson horse so he can pay for himself around here. But number two, he is going to be the first ever. This has never been done before, Glenn. I am breaking new ground. And if I am not, I would like to talk to the person that is doing this with their horse. Write this down, ladies and gentlemen that are listening. Find me a Mustang that does dressage and barrel races. Is there one?
You're doing dressage barrel races?
I want to do
those. Is that a new sport?
I want to do those things.
They need to go together.
Do you pee off around the barrels? What?
I didn't think about combining the two.
But that is a great idea, actually, if you think about it.
Enter working gallop.
Yeah.
That's right. Hard right.
Hard right.
I have some barrels in my arena, and I have a friend out here that barrel races. And the problem is, you know, with all these barrel horses, they're crazy. And I mean, they're crazy for a reason. Their job is to like giddy up, stop, spin around, loop back. And I don't know. It looked like, I told her, she's like, you should barrel race Thor. I was like, why? He's a runaway. This will be a nightmare. I'll just retrain him to do all this. But if I work on the dressage portion of it, and then I go out to barrel race, I think each one is going to help each other. Is there a Mustang out there or just a horse who is a barrel racing dressage horse? I don't know. but I've decided to try it. So
it's going to be interesting seeing you with your feet out front like they do in barrel racing with the
Yeah. I don't know. What's interesting is doing doing barrel racing in a dressage saddle. So I might have to invest.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting too.
In a Western saddle, but I can't pick them up. They're too heavy.
Well, you know what? If you get the synthetic one, it's not as bad.
Yeah, but they're uncomfortable.
That's true.
I've never found a comfortable synthetic saddle.
Jennifer has one. Which one do you? You have the Wintec, right?
It's a Wintec. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not everybody's shaped for Wintecs, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
And besides, if you want to be cool when you go to the barrel race, you
it
really need to
Wintec.
Have a saddle that has like a teal blue seat and little sparkles and pink edges and stuff like that. Yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah. You know. Yeah, be ready. Be ready for this when Thor does his first barrel race. Yeah,
I think it'll be really fun to give it a try, and I really have been looking at like the, you know how they have like the, what's it, the breast collars that match the bridles. There's so many exciting shopping opportunities.
That's true. And a lot blingy. A lot blingier.
Which requires zero. Yeah.
You can go very black blingy. Yeah.
Black and white. Yeah. So I don't know. I think it's going to be exciting. So Thor will be on the way. We might never actually go to a barrel race, but by God, we're going to spin around him in my arena.
Well, you know, maybe going around him's better than jumping him. So,
well, it can't get worse. So
I think that'll be fun to watch.
Why not? You know, you got to have your horse to have fun with, right? That's what we have them for. So,
you've actually gone to quite a few little barrel races here recently. There's several in your area. Well, you're a very Western area, so.
I'm in the total Western area, and there's a little Western arena up the road. And so, yes, I've been to two barrel races. This is where I hang out, you know, Friday nights. Now, my girlfriend that does the barrel racing has a little pony, and so she has a son who's the same age as Lucas. So we put him on the ponies and, you know, lead them around, and then they get a ribbon and M&Ms. So
did you try Thor with cutting or anything yet? Any cow
no.
work?
We've done nothing except for failed attempts at eventing dressage. Actually he's a pretty good dressage horse. But mainly the work that I've had to do with Thor is just behavior modification.
Right. Stay alive modification.
Just stop running away modification. So it'll be fun.
Well, good luck with that. We can't wait to see the videos.
Yeah, we'll see.
Is it called bowling when you knock over all of the barrels?
I don't know. If that's a goal, I can do that.
Because when you do cones, when you're driving and you go do the cones course, it's called bowling when you knock them all over. So I don't know if they call it that in barrel racing. We'll find out. Or hopefully not. One or the other.
All right, talk amongst yourselves. I now have a child.
All right. I wanted to, Jennifer, go to the news at the bottom of the show notes and go to, speaking of bling, go to the rocking horse story. This is on Daily Mail, where I get all my official news. And the Daily Mail had this story about the Stevenson brothers in England who decided to make, who apparently make hobby horses. You know those hobby horses that kids ride? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. They make expensive ones. They've made hobby horses for rocking horses for Madonna, Sir Paul McCartney, Prince George. Prince George actually got a zebra rocking horse that cost more than £4,000 in Christmas in 2014. But they just made the most expensive rocking horse. And what I think is the ugliest rocking horse I've ever seen. It's a rocking horse embellished with 82,000 Swarovski crystals, and it's going to go on the market for £100,000, which is the same price as a new Aston Martin sports car. So
there we go.
Go look at the picture there and tell me if you think this is the ugliest, most terrifying rocking horse you've ever seen. It's gray. And it kind of shimmers because it looks like it has scales, like because they put all these Swarovski crystals all over it. It looks like fish scales, like terrifying.
It looks a little bit like fish scales.
Yeah, dappled horse with fish scales. And it's got his mouth open, and it looks like he's about to eat your hand off or something. It's just,
you know what it looks like to me?
What?
If the, and boy, they need to fire the photographer who did this because it's probably really pretty in person. But the way they have the horse, his face and his head and his neck and his tail and everything, he looks like a horse that is simultaneously colicking and trying to throw up.
Something. It's just
at the same time.
It's just a horrible position. It just is awful. Jennifer, post it when you get a chance. Post that on Facebook and ask everybody. The question of the day is, what do they think about this rocking horse? Because boy, it is not attractive.
Okay, I'm gonna pull it up.
Yeah,
right,
pull
now.
It up and tell me what you think of this rocking horse. It is just the grossest. 100,000 pounds to buy this baby. Who looks like he's about to eat your hand off.
It is definitely an interesting look.
It's just bizarre. It is just bizarre. Well, one of the other stories I have, and I have to do this, we're going to start the week. Why not start the week with a loser?
Why not?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Well, over the weekend, a guy went to a wedding in Santa Rosa, California, and apparently the wedding was at a place that also has a stables. So he got to the wedding and had a little too much to drink, and, you know, maybe he was that uncle, you know, that had a little too much to drink, and got kicked out by fellow guests, basically kicked him out for being overly intoxicated. Well, he thought that they were wrong and really thought he should be back at the wedding. So he decided to sneak back in.
Oh, no.
Through the horse stalls.
Oh, God.
And got himself good and kicked. Apparently, he got a little close to one of the horses, and he got kicked. Deputies responded to a call that had reported a stabbing, but instead found this guy injured and inebriated, who was trying to sneak back into the wedding. No arrests were made of any of the horses, and this guy was taken to the hospital.
Lieutenant Ed Honer of the Santa Rosa Sheriff's Department says, this horse took issue with him coming back to the party, and that was that. I love the quotes.
You're not coming back to my party. Stay away. I don't like drunk guys. So that was my loser of the week. The week just started. We already had a loser.
Now, what is this type of wedding? Because deputies had initially responded to the location for a report of a stabbing.
I think somebody probably just saw him laying there and thought he was stabbed. I don't know. You'd probably be reacting. If he got kicked like in the stomach, you'd probably be acting like you'd been stabbed, right?
What type of wedding is this where people are like drunk and getting kicked by horses and getting potentially
usually
stabbed?
Usually you save that for Chuck E. Cheese's. That's where that usually happens.
I mean, come on.
It usually doesn't happen at weddings. Not too often, anyway. Oh. The other one that's bizarre, like totally bizarre, and I don't even know what to say about this. The Japanese make the weirdest things. There's a new video game, and the article says just when you thought it couldn't get any weirder, it's called Remember Hateful Boyfriend. No, that was an old game that apparently was a pigeon dating game. I have no idea what that means. They've now come out with one called The Horse Prince. It's a dating game where you play as a girl and suddenly meet a horse with a handsome human man's face. Now, I don't know exactly
this
what
you're getting too weird. I'm just turning my head.
Yeah,
off.
It's very strange game. And the Japanese make some weird stuff. That's all I'm saying about that. It was just a morning for weird, crazy horse news. But the good horse news from the weekend, and we just did a show that came out over the weekend, the driving show about harness racing. A new world's record was set, and this was at the Red Mile in Kentucky, in Lexington. Always Be Mickey paced the fastest mile in harness racing history Sunday afternoon at the Red Mile, capturing $138,000. When is that? The Allegra Farm Open pace. So they lowered from the previous race record of 146.4 to 146 flat, so 0.4 of a second faster. And apparently, this is one that's going to be around a while. Guess who the trainer was?
Oh, it's got to be Jimmy Tactor.
It was Jimmy Tactor. Yes, it was.
Pulling out a name.
It was Jimmy Tactor who was the trainer, and this is apparently it was quite a record. And congratulations to Jimmy and to Always Be Mickey for setting a very fast record. This was his ninth win of the year in 15 starts, and has sent his seasonal earnings past the $1 million mark to a total career earnings of $2.3 million, which in the harness racing world is a lot. That's very high in the harness racing world. So congratulations to them. Red Mile. God, I say this over and over again. If you're going, and I hear it's been redone and remodeled, actually, but if you haven't been to the Red Mile and you go to Lexington and they're running, it's in race season, go to the Red Mile and see a race. See an afternoon of racing. It is the most fun. They do fun stuff. They have activities for everybody. It is just a cool track. You got to see it once.
Two comments about that. First of all, standardbreds have the best names. Just always the best names.
Yes.
Number two, my advice to you is if you do go to the Red Mile, just every race there seems to be a 99-1. Just put $2 on it. I made my way through college with that, okay? That's what I did. 99-1, put $2 on that and you walk home with $200. It was just always, I don't know what happens. It's some shady stuff going on, I think, but 99-1s. Go ahead and play it.
We used to go every time there was a meet. We'd go at least once because it really is more like a party. They really have a party atmosphere there. It's just a little different than going to other tracks we've been to.
Well, it is Turf Paradise opening weekend in Phoenix this coming weekend, and I am going on Sunday.
Are you going?
Is
that the one you took us to?
Yep. Not the same feeling.
No,
not the party atmosphere.
Although I hear that the Red Mile now has gambling of some sort.
They all do.
Yeah.
They all do. Is how they're staying alive.
Yep. So apparently they remodeled. I hope they did. Part of the charm of the Red Mile was it's been the same for like 100 years. That was part of its charm. They used to have Dixieland bands that would play and barbecues and just all kinds of different stuff. So I hope that charm hasn't changed. I wonder if they don't run during Rolex. Keeneland's running during Rolex. I don't know if the Red Mile runs, but I'd love to go back again when we head back sometime.
Yeah. Hey, I have some news for you too.
Yeah.
This is eventing news. I, you know, as an eventer, I've competed beginner, novice, training level, but the step up to something that has always eluded me, probably because it's really scary.
In gusts, six homes were burned and there was nothing they could do. They had to let them burn. Luckily, there was only one occupied. And our battalion chief did go in and evacuate those people before this happened. So we were lucky no lives were lost, but six homes were lost.
So now you also posted pictures of your property. I mean, my gosh, girl, you had power. You couldn't even get to your barn. You, first of all, there were trees down everywhere, and that seems, I mean, it was just a mess in your area, and you had power lines down. You couldn't even, there were power lines over your horse trailer and your truck.
Well, me being precautious, of course, with my horses, I want to make sure everything's okay. So I moved them out to the part where there weren't. I have mostly hardwood trees, big oaks and things like that. So I moved the horses out to the backside, and I took my car, my truck, and my horse trailer and parked them out on the dirt road that I live on so they wouldn't have tree damage. And that worked out fine until the gust came. And it was, I think, probably about 70 miles an hour. And I look out, and two power poles on my property snapped, one with a transformer, which is still laying in my yard right now. Power lines went down across the road, across my vehicles, my horse trailer. And it's probably going to be about 2 weeks before I get power here. But luckily, my horse trailer is self-contained, which I always use during hurricanes. I can cook. I have a hot shower, a bathroom, et cetera, except when the power lines are laying on.
Oh, yeah, that discourages you from wanting to go in there and take a nap.
Yes.
So now, what are you seeing? You're also part of the rescue squad there, and I know you've been out and about. So what are you seeing, and how have you heard anything about horse people in the area? Did most of them get out? What are you hearing or seeing?
Well, because of the preparedness we had, they did a massive evacuation with horses. I think they did more around the Charleston area, Mount Pleasant, which is about a two-hour drive south of here. There's a lot of big barns. Some have 40, 50 horses. It was a community of horse people. I mean, if they had a little two-horse bumper pull, they were there evacuating these horses. I think people that live more inland, an hour or so in, thought they might be protected, and it really went inland this time. But I haven't heard anything of any horse injuries or anything like that, just flooding in pastures and whatnot. But I think we fared pretty well as far as the equine community. We had a lot of rain.
All the flooding, you will have some injuries because of all this flooding. Lots of abscesses are on their way.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What happens during the hurricane, we don't have a whole lot of injuries. But like today, it's beautiful out. The sun's out. This is when people go to their barns, to their houses, and they start to clean up. This is when the rescue squad comes in. People that are not used to operating chainsaws, other equipment like that. This is when we come across lots of injuries during the cleanup.
Mm. And stepping on things and nails through feet and, you know, all of that, I assume.
You know, people are always looking down to make sure they don't step on something or trip on something. You need to look up. We have limbs that are dangling, barely dangling. And one good gust of wind, that limb could come down on you as you're working. So, you know, things that people really need to think about when they're doing a cleanup. As far as I'm concerned, I'm not even thinking about cleaning up right now. It's wet, it's yucky, and it's not going anywhere.
Yeah, that's one thing, is it's not going anywhere. Have they cut the power to your lines yet?
No, there's no power where I am in my community at all. Yesterday morning, there's a little IGA store on the highway, and he opened up with the generator for 2 hours yesterday, and he probably made $3 million. It was all cash only, but I was one of the first ones up there to grab ice and things. But I do have a generator, so I, thank goodness, have a TV. I still use my horse trailer for my showers, and that works as my second home.
Well, and I know that most of the area is without power. Have you been actually down to North Myrtle Beach or down in that strip yet?
Yes, actually, the day before the hurricane and the day of the hurricane, we were on high alert because I work water rescue. That's my preliminary job there. And we were ready because we thought maybe Cherry Grove, if there were people still there, as quickly as the water came up. But we were lucky because probably 90% of the occupants heeded our warning and they left. So we had very few that were left behind, and we didn't get any calls for that. Yesterday morning, early, I got up because my 800 radios were dying because they were not charged. So I went to our squad, which was running on a generator, and they were maxed out with it. And I thought, oh, my goodness, I don't have a phone, a radio, anything. So I went over to our trusty fire department and asked if I could borrow a couple outlets. And within probably 2 hours, our electricity was restored at the rescue squad. So because they're very cautious of letting people over the Intercoastal Waterway Bridge, you have to have ID and everything to get back in. I jumped in one of the rescue vehicles and, of course, went straight to my parents' house, my sisters, my niece, my friends, make sure everybody's home was okay and everybody fared well. The roads in North Myrtle Beach are clear. Yesterday was fine. We had no electricity, so there were no traffic lights. But the National Guard and our public safety officers were directing traffic. They still had a lot of damage there. Yesterday afternoon, they allowed business owners to come in and assess their damage. Most of it was flooding and major, major roof damage. I mean, some roofs were picked up in one piece and set down on the ground beside the house.
Hmm. Which means the house is trashed with water damage, too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, Julie, we appreciate you stopping by today and letting us know that you're okay, your horses are okay, and giving us an update on what's going on. A lot of people are going to have a long cleanup and a lot of hassle through all this whole thing. And I know there were thousands of rescues, so I'm glad to hear you guys weren't needed. But we appreciate you stopping by today, and good luck with all of it.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. I just want to say a quick thanks to our public safety, FEMA, EOC, National Guard, and everybody else who helped get us back on track now. And just a shout out to all these wonderful horse people who took care of each other in a tragic time. And I'm glad everybody's safe and sound.
Thank you, Julie.
You're very welcome. You have a good day.
I want her in my neighborhood if something happens.
Yeah, she's a matter of fact, huh? Yes. That's the kind of people you need, though, for rescue squads, right? Get the job done. Get her done.
That and our next listener's husband is a superhero. We've got our auditor, Mona Wheeler, has been evacuated. And we'd like to say, first of all, good morning, Mona.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Fantastic. Thanks so much for joining us. Your husband works for the Savannah Fire Department. Is that correct?
He works for Southside Fire Department. That's Southside. In Savannah. Savannah actually has two fire departments. So.
Oh, my bad. So he works for a fire department in Savannah, Georgia. And is that where you live, in Savannah?
We live just south of Savannah in a little town called Richmond Hill. It's like one county over, but only like 10 miles south.
Okay. So what a beautiful area most of the time when a hurricane's not hitting you. So talk to us about what happened to you guys. I know you got hit pretty hard, and I know your husband was at work for, what, days straight?
Yeah. Gosh, I don't even know where to start. I guess on Tuesday, I made a reservation at a hotel just in case we needed it. And by Thursday, they were telling us to do mandatory evacuations for everybody that was east of I-95. Governor Deal came in, and he was telling everybody to leave. So we went ahead and left that day instead of Friday. And
so you're one of those people that evacuated when they were told. Okay.
Yes, I was. And, I mean, I was planning on leaving on Friday anyway and just kind of driving, you know, to Macon, staying the night, and then coming back. Because I didn't think it was going to be that bad. But when the governor came in and told everyone to leave on Thursday, we went ahead and left. It's just, I've never had hurricanes before. I'm not from here. So they kind of scare me, and I just got the hell out of Dodge. So, sorry.
If I could have you talk to some of my family members, that would be awesome. Is a direct quote from my mother. I've been through seven before. I've been through seven hurricanes, Jamie. And I go, what, you want to die in the eighth? Like, what?
Good answer.
Want this to be the last one for you? So I did get her to evacuate. But, so talk to us a little bit about what you're seeing.
We went to Macon, so it didn't even rain up there. My husband went to work on Thursday, and he worked straight through until yesterday when he came home. And it was a mess, just crazy winds and flooding all over the place. And when I drove back from Macon, I know you're familiar with Georgia, but a lot of listeners maybe not. Macon's like 200 miles inland. It took 8 hours to get to Macon because of the evacuation situation.
Wow.
And yes, there's so many people, and they contract load the interstate I-16, so all lanes were westbound. And on the way back, they still hadn't turned around the interstate, so we couldn't take the interstate back. We had to kind of go on some Georgia back roads to come back. And it took about 5 hours to get back with all the driving everywhere. On the way back, I saw so much devastation. It started happening in Claxton, which is about 50 miles inland. That's south of Statesboro. I started seeing trees all over the place, and the emergency crews had done a phenomenal job because none of the roads I took were blocked, but you could see like where they had chainsawed trees and there's just big piles of wood on the side of the road. there were trees down everywhere. Everywhere you looked, there were huge oak trees on power lines starting in Claxton all the way back into Richmond Hill and the Savannah area. People's houses were crushed. I just saw people standing outside looking at their houses, like trying to take it all in.
Oh, man.
I didn't realize this storm was that big. I mean, 50 miles inland and that amount of devastation, it just kept getting worse and worse the further to the coast that I drove. I couldn't believe my eyes some of the time. I called my husband and I was like, John, this is crazy. I can't believe what I'm seeing. All these trees, like giant trees, completely uprooted, just fallen over. I saw a pecan farm. We do pecans here in Georgia. So this,
they're pecans in Georgia, honey. Pecans.
She's new.
Say it right.
Well, I'm an implant into Georgia. Okay, so they're pecans to me.
I'm just telling you. If you want to get in with your neighbors, they're pecans.
I've been informed. I can't get it right. But I saw a whole pecan farm where half of the trees were completely uprooted.
Oh, that's horrible. Oh, those just take millions of years. It's forever to grow back. So
I'd be interested to know, in Savannah, where your husband worked, did he do a lot of rescues or did people pretty much heat it? Now, you know, Julie said up in Myrtle Beach that 90% of the people got out. Was it the same in Savannah or...
No, it wasn't. You know, the news said it was something like 75% of the residents left. And there was a lot of people left over in Savannah. But he said it was pretty bad up there. Still a lot of people out. I mean, I think there's like 300,000 people that live in the area. And 75% of that left. So it was still pretty bare. And he was driving around. He said there's trees down and power lines draped all over the place and flooding. Some roads were impassable just because of flooding and like trees knocked over onto people's homes. And there was a big problem with the bridges. We have the big Kalmich Bridge and we also have the Truman Bridge. And those, I think, are just now opening today because they had to get inspectors in to look at those. But,
at 95 is still closed from in what, South Carolina, I think. So they're still closed.
I heard that there was a big problem up there. Some people got stuck on 95. There was like 20 cars that got trapped.
Right in the water.
Yeah.
I know exactly where that flooding is because we've seen flooding on 95 before when we've been driving up and down. I know exactly where that is. But when you got, and they're rerouting everybody, Jamie, through a little tiny town on Main Street, 2-lane town on Main Street. And, of course, you know, they're rerouting all of 95 through that little town. Can you imagine what a nightmare that is?
I said, don't speed. That's where they get you.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, Mona, we're glad. Is your house, you had just bought a house. Is it okay?
Yeah, it's okay. My nerves are shot, but it's okay. We hadn't even made the first payment yet.
Oh, jeez.
So that sucks. Our fence got crushed in the back, but it's not that bad.
I saw a picture.
If we had to choose anything on the property to get squashed, that fence was it, because that fence got squashed with Hurricane Hermine.
Well, you're luckier than some of your neighbors. I saw a picture today, guys, of a house. Talk about unlucky. They had live oak trees all around the house, like we do here in Florida and you do up there. And three of the trees came into three different sides of the house. Three of the trees hit the house, came down. There was nothing. You could barely see the roof. There were so many trees on top of it. It's like, okay, Mother Nature had it out for that house. One tree is bad enough, let alone three of them. Jeez.
We have a couple in our neighborhood where the trees fell on the home, but most of our problem was flooding, and it seems to have receded at this point.
Well, Mona, we're glad you're okay. We're glad your husband's okay. I hope he's getting some sleep. And thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate you letting us know what the story is in Georgia.
No problem. Glad to
Mona,
hear it. Can I just
Mona?
Say,
go ahead. What were you going to say?
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say that if there's any people listening in the Savannah area, it's still a very dangerous situation out there. And the emergency crews are practically begging people just to stay off the road. They opened the county up to residents yesterday, and people really want to get to their homes, but there's no power, there's no water, and people like my husband are out trying to fix things, and it's really difficult to do when there's people on the road.
So, absolutely.
I know everyone's anxious to get home, but it's just not very safe. But, yeah. Those emergency crews. My husband worked from Thursday to Sunday. That's insane.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, to give him a big hug from us, and thank you for doing what he does and having the heart to go out there and save people.
I'll let him know.
Thank you, Mona.
He went to sleep yesterday at 5 and he's not up yet.
I bet. Oh, all right. Thanks, Mona. Take care.
Thank you.
Well, there you go. We just wanted to let her, you know, this was a major storm and we wanted to get caught up with some of our friends there. And I know you know a lot of people in Georgia and Florida, as we do, and the Carolinas for that matter. So we give our best out to all of them. And I know there'll be some rescue efforts or there'll be some relief efforts going on revolving around horse farms and things. And we'll try and keep you up to date on those as we hear about them as the week goes on. If you know of some that have started, we're bringing hay in or whatever they're doing for the farmers in that area, then let us know and we'll try and put the word out too. I also wanted to give Cecilia, who's one of our auditors, she helped get 30-some horses out before running her trailer back and forth. She was one of those people helping to get the horses out that Julie talked about. And she's still not headed back to her house yet. I talked to her last night. So she doesn't know what she's going to find at her farm yet. But I wanted to thank her for helping get horses out as well.
In situations like this, you certainly can see the absolute best of people.
Yes.
You really can.
Absolutely. Well, we have, there's going to be a problem coming up here thanks to the flooding. And that's also, not only are we going to see abscesses, but we're going to see scratches. And Horsewear has started for the next 8 weeks a winter grooming series with a couple of very famous grooms in the horse world. And we're going to give you the first one of those Horsewear grooming tips coming up right now. And it happens to be on scratches, which turns out to be very appropriate. And we'll be back in just a minute. Kristen is stopping by from Horse Nation with the Wacky World of Horses, and then we have another guest too, so a whole lot to go yet on today's show. This winter grooming tip is brought to you by Horsewear Blankets. Joining us are two of the top grooms in the country of Enter Philip Dutton's groom, Emma Ford, and Kat Hill from World Class Grooming. Well, this week's Horsewear winter grooming tip, we have Emma on, and we're talking about winter scratches on the legs, or scratches of any time, really, on the legs, but especially in the winter. It's a problem we have in here in Florida all year long, so I'm interested to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, everybody, one of the things with our clinics that we do, everyone's always asking, how do we get rid of the scratches? Hopefully these tips will help you guys out. Scratches really comes down to, or preventing scratches comes down to good grooming practices, making sure you're good about lightly currying your legs both before and after riding. So their legs actually are has the poorest circulation within their body. So you actually want to get that circulation going. So improving that circulation in the legs helps to prevent infection. Very important that you don't start overwashing your legs and letting, by overwashing with shampoos, you actually remove the horse's natural ability to fight these infections. You end up drying out the skin and removing the oils that is what they actually need to help you or help themselves, basically, to maintain their skin health. Should you want to or need to shampoo, then always use a very mild shampoo. And again, you can use something as simple as ivory. And then very important to towel dry those legs. And you're actually, it's not just about drying the hair, it's about drying the skin. For those of you down south, I would definitely recommend hand grazing your horses before you put them away in their stalls. Trying to put horses away with wet legs, just providing that
environment of moist and warm for bacteria to grow. For some people, I've even recommended blow drying their leg to make sure that the hair and the skin gets dry. Obviously, you need a quiet horse for this. And
my Hackney pony would be in the state of Georgia after I tried that.
It is not for everybody. It is not for everybody. And then a lot of people are fun, you know, enjoy wrapping their horses a lot. If you do need, for some reason, wrap slightly damp legs, you could apply talcum powder to help with the moisture control. Always make sure you use clean boots and clean polos. By the time you either have mud or dirt rubbing into their skin and make the small micro abrasions, that's what you're trying to avoid, sort of any surface abrasion that could allow for the bacteria to grow is what we're always trying to avoid. And then for those of you that, you know, have to work outside, you don't have the luxury of an indoor and it's a bit muddy and it's a bit wet, if your horse is prone to scratches, then using some sort of zinc oxide paste or desitin is a good way of preventing, it forms a good barrier against those microorganisms.
Very good. Where can people find out more about what you do?
We are available on worldclassgrooming.com and also Facebook, Instagram, and we have a top-selling book on any horse or equestrian establishment, World Class Grooming, the competition horse.
Great Christmas gift for the loved ones in your life, no matter whether they have a backyard horse or they're a competitor. Worldclassgrooming.com is where you can find it. This tip was brought to you by Horseware. Have you ever wanted to own your own Rambo? Well, here's your chance. From October 3rd to November 23rd, receive $50 off any Rambo turnout blanket, including the Rambo Duo, the Optimo, the Original, the Supreme, and all the others in the Rambo turnout line. All you have to do is trade in your old turnout from any brand for a horse in need. Simply visit horseware.com/trade for more information and fill out the form for the voucher you will need to get your $50 off. The complete list of retailers is at horseware.com/trade as well. Open to U.S. and Canadian residents only. Go to horseware.com/trade today and replace that blanket with all the holes for one of the best blankets on the market, the Rambo Turnout Line. Well, thanks to Horseware for doing that for us. We really appreciate them putting on that series, and we hope you enjoy that over the next week, getting ready for winter. Yes, it is that time of year when winter will start coming as soon as we get rid of the hurricanes.
I know. I don't know why I can't remember to buy blankets after winter.
I know, when they're cheap.
Oh, now I need
when they're really cheap and on sale.
Exactly. What's wrong with me? It's like buying Christmas ornaments the month before Christmas.
Right.
Just wait.
Nobody ever does that except grandmothers for some reason.
Yeah. My mom is like, oh, we better go to the store. It's December 27th.
Grandmothers are good at that. You have to be like 65 to get that gene, I think. It's the delayed gene that only starts when you're 65. Listening to Horses in the Morning. We had a little bit of a problem. Glory unplugged the computer that does the live feed, the laptop.
It's a helpful dog.
So she, because she sleeps under my desk, and apparently she unplugged it. So I looked over while we were doing that last interview, and all of a sudden the screen is blank. And I went, well, I guess people are not hearing us right now. I managed to get it back up pretty quickly, but discovered what it was, the dog. Thank you, Glory. Appreciate the help. They try and help dogs.
Well, you just heard mine just assert
yes,
herself.
Was that lucky?
No, that was Zinni just letting me know that, I don't know, there's a horse outside. So,
yeah, you don't
helpful.
Have those very often at your house.
It's, no, it's a novelty. Although she does, she's very helpful at times when, like, there's a coyote near, she'll bark like crazy. And then when Zeus is close to the fence, she'll bark like crazy. And then the other morning, the horses ran through the electric fence and she was barking like crazy, but you don't know what she's barking
which is right.
Yeah, and it's like you are crying wolf. And so the horses actually got out. So that's what Chad and I spent our weekend doing was getting new electric fence because the solar apparently was not working anymore. I don't think it's actually worked for like months, but they don't know that.
Yeah, well, until they figure it out, then you're done.
Well, they got a big surprise yesterday. Hey, guys, push on the... Oh, crap!
Did they get Thor to do it for Thor? Go, you check it out.
trust me, there ain't no way I'm turning Thor out in an electric fence paddock. He goes in the fence paddock.
All right.
I mean, wussy thoroughbreds are in that one.
Horses, the ultimate frontier. These are the adventures of Horse Nation. Its weekly mission to explore strange equestrian behaviors and to exploit horse humor in the wacky world of horses.
And I don't think that you can explain stranger horse behaviors and what happened at Bocolo this past weekend. Now, that's a horse show, a 3-day event. And let's say good morning, Kristen. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
We're great. Thank you so much for coming in and filling in for Leslie, who's probably on an airplane flying over the ocean. Talk to us a little bit about what Bocolo is for those who don't know. And am I pronouncing it right?
Actually, I was hoping you were going to pronounce it right.
I think it's Bocolo.
Bocolo.
Bocolo is how I pronounce it. I don't know. I could be wrong,
yeah,
too.
That's how Leslie said it, so we'll go with that. So, yeah, this is why I stay home, though, so I don't embarrass everybody by pronouncing everything wrong abroad. So, but yes, it is a 3-day event in the Netherlands, and apparently it's a little bit of a party event as well. So, of course, they sent Leslie. So it looks like she had a fabulous time. I think I saw that it was a German rookie who won it, Stephanie Bohe, I think. And once again, probably not saying that right. Either. So my apologies to you, Stephanie, but fabulous job. So,
so strange. So strange. I love this story because it involves one of our dear favorite eventers, Tammy Smith. So just to paint a picture, and I'll let you take it once I paint it. Leslie is kind of outside the show jumping arena. And she's kind of watching the riders go and talking to people as they come out. And she sees a child on what she says, an adorable white pony at the arena in gate during the lunch break. And I thought to myself, yes, pony jumping exhibition. Because who likes pony jumping more? Who likes pony jumping more than Leslie Wiley, right? And she said, like a moth to the flame, I sprinted outside the press tent to see what was going on. The crowd cheered, and the pony trotted into the ring. But what was it dragging behind it on a string? And what was that nauseating smell? I can just see Leslie Wiley saying these things. So take it from there as what exactly was going on at Bocolo.
Well, I guess at these European events, they like to do something kind of exciting at, like, you know, the quote-unquote halftime show. And in Bocolo, they decided it would be a good idea to do a drag hunt halfway through show jumping. So this child and their pony, they're dragging the scent for the hounds. In Leslie's words, I'm not sure what it was, and I honestly don't ever want to know, but it was definitely some sort of dead animal part that, because it wasn't already dead enough, was drenched in next. Extra strength, dead animal perfume.
I don't know where you drag the scent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know where you buy that smell, but we all know that smell, and it's the worst.
Yes, yeah. Oh, yeah. And once you smell it, it's, you know, in your nose for the rest of the day. So, the unfortunate part was, you know, they did this in the show jumping arena, and there's no way to get rid of that once you put it down. So. You know, the brave afternoon set of show jumpers just had to go for it, despite the arena smelling like death. So it looks like it was a little exciting. And then Tammy Smith and Dempsey looked like they had a pretty exciting round. Leslie took some pretty good photos that I think Dempsey's facial expressions really sum it up very well. So I hope everyone checks that out.
You have to go see these pictures on horsenation.com. Or this is actually on eventingnation.com.
Eventing Nation, yeah.
I just have to read the transcript from our post-ride interview because the U.S. Tammy Smith and Dempsey, her baby 8-year-old future superstar, got his mind blown by Bocolo's sensory overload. And so this is the transcript from her post-ride interview. Tammy, his eyes are popping out of his head. I can't wait till he goes to a normal horse show at home because he's going to be like a broke plow pony. And Leslie's like, yeah. And also the whole arena smells like a dead animal. And Tammy goes, it does, doesn't it? It's gross. I'm pretty sure it's all the throw up from the party last night. Leslie, no, they actually dragged a dead animal around the ring. Did you not know? What? Says Tammy. It's an actual dead animal because they did like a drag hunt for the halftime show. Tammy, oh my, oh gross. And Tammy says it must have landed right in front of the red oxer because he was like, I don't know about that one. And apparently it did. They actually drug it right up against the red oxer. And the photo of Tammy jumping the red oxer, that horse has the O-S-H-I-T look on his face. And he's like, what am I jumping?
And he does. He really does. His eyes are as big as saucers.
He looks like he's got like a twist in midair. Like, yeah. He's like, this jump is going to eat me.
There's something to it. How about Tammy's horsemanship to get her horse to jump that? And then I love her. The caption of Dempsey's face is, I think the last animal here got murdered. which it did. She calls him a vegan trooper. So please go look at this. This is just, I think it's kind of going a little bit viral because they've got pictures of the huntsmen and the hounds and the whole thing. And I mean, thank God they didn't set out a live fox in the arena and actually let them wreck it.
This is what it sounded like. Here's the sound from it. You know what? They wouldn't have had to drag anything. These hounds would have just run around anyway. They would have been fine. Oh, there you go. Oh, there's the riders. You can hear them thundering.
At the end of it, they go on to say the huntsman tossed the pack a real, much larger dead animal to consume, at which point it was full canine Lord of the Flies.
You know, maybe not a good idea at halftime. Maybe at the end of the day would have been
poor Tammy. Oh my gosh. We have to get her on just to talk about this. Oh gosh. Because she's in warm-up. She doesn't know what's going on. She probably heard the horns and was like, whatever. Oh God, that's so funny. Hey, Kristen, by the way, I did give you a little bit of a daily whinny one day because of the coffee. So thank you for sending me the delicious coffee that you guys, how's the coffee business? Tell everybody what you're doing.
It's booming. This morning, actually, I just made it back home in time because we were processing more coffee this morning. So the pumpkin spice, we're right in the peak of pumpkin spice season. Everybody cannot get enough of that. So, but the good news is with our online order website, it looks like it's finally up and running. My sister-in-law was on her honeymoon, so I did not make her work on that while she was out of town. But
what's the website?
Hopefully now we'll be able to start shipping. You have to go through our farm website, which is petersonfarmswede.com, as in like Swedish person. We're in a very Swedish-American part of New York, so everything is Swedish, which is where the Dala Hest name comes from. So that's the little Swedish workhorse.
Peterson Farm Swede.
Yes.
Oh, I want to make canned tomatoes.
Oh, yeah, we can try to ship you some of those, too. I don't think they'll probably go too well, but we'll give it a shot.
You'll have spaghetti sauce when they get there.
I also have to say, I'm really happy that I'm in the auditor group now, too. I'll have to share that in there, but that's a ton of fun, so.
So
I'm glad I joined the auditors.
Man, we're just...
Yeah, I was thinking about it the other day because I work from home and I work all by myself. It's like, I finally have people to talk to during the day.
Oh, so. You're never so without friends when you're at the auditor group.
Exactly.
You're never without friends. Hey, I was just... Jamie, I was just looking at the 10 equestrian problems according to Twitter on Horse Nation.
Here's always
one.
Fun.
I love these. And here's one. Worst day of the year, stable mat cleaning day. Ugh. There is nothing worse than pulling this.
Hashtag smells.
Oh, there's nothing worse than pulling the stall mats out and cleaning them. Oh, that's awful.
Yeah.
It does smell like death under those. And then October, the month of not knowing what rug to put on the pony. That's so true.
Very true. Very true.
Because it'll be 40 degrees in the morning and 70 in the afternoon. And if you go to work, you're screwed. You really can't put anything on them.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to work that out here. Yeah.
What size do you have to get for your big boys? About 80? 85? 90?
84. I have two 84 sheets coming. So this is the problem I realized now that I own a draft team is I have to order everything twice. So so if one horse isn't expensive enough, now I have to order two of everything. So I'm like, oh, two sheets. Great. Two blankets. Excellent. So that's great. So,
and at least they're not the biggest ones, so they're the most expensive. But why would you sheet them? Right. Like, aren't they, don't they just have giant woolly hair, woolly mammoths, or is it a rain sheet or
something?
They're
extremely woolly already, yes. One of them is a little bit of a tougher keeper, though, so I'm going to get him a couple extra layers for the winter. And I am debating trace clipping the one because he's so woolly, and I know we have some wagon rides and stuff to do in the fall and the winter, and I'm just foreseeing spending hours trying to cool him out. So if I do end up biting the bullet and getting a trace clip for him, then he'll definitely need a little something extra. So
I see you spending hours
up here by now, though, and I haven't. So.
Yeah, how long does it take to clip a great big draft horse? It would take 4 hours to clip a draft horse.
Yeah, it will definitely not be a full body clip. So, well, we'll see how it goes. I don't know. Like already, it was in the 50s this weekend, and he was quite damp for a long time. I was like, buddy, this is not going to work. So, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Well, again, as usual, thank you for rescuing them, and we'll post a link. If you can post a link on the auditor's page to your family farm, which I think is just awesome that you have a family farm, and I want one. That's really, really great. We'll post that. Post that link in the auditor's page, and then we'll share it with the Horses in the Morning crew too.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for coming on and joining us at the last minute, for being on standby for Leslie, who didn't make it. And we will talk to you again, later.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kristen.
All right. You guys have a good day.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Things you never thought you said. Lucas, do not pull Danny's leg.
Don't pull her leg.
Well, Jennifer's getting the next guest on the line here, I wanted to just give you a programming note or two. We're getting pretty back to normal here for the next couple of weeks, but everybody has to really start thinking about Radiothon. We're, believe it or not, we are only 7 weeks, 8 weeks away from Radiothon. So, which is on November the 28th this year. So you have to start thinking about what you're going to be doing for your holiday voicemails. I'm lining up the prizes, and believe me, you're going to want to be entered for prizes, and we're going to do it the same way, Jamie, as we did last year, where anybody is eligible to win any of the prizes, the thousands of dollars of worth of prizes all day. You're eligible to win if you leave a voicemail that we play, that we then put on the air, or if you call in that day. So that's the only way you're eligible for the prizes. So think about your songs, think about writing poems, whatever you want to do for your holiday voicemails. We had over 100 last year, and we're hoping to get some more good ones this year. We had a lot of great ones last year.
I do prefer the singing. Especially if it's poor.
If it's poor, because it makes Jamie
only
look good.
Only if it's poor, makes me look great. I sing along with you and I sound like the good one, then you're in. Yeah. You get double prizes.
Yeah, so be thinking about that and getting your voicemails ready. So we'll be looking forward to hearing from you with all of those. Also, if you missed it, Saturday, we didn't have a show on Friday, obviously, because of the hurricane, but we did have a show on Saturday, and that was the Australian episode that comes out once a month, so check that out. If you didn't get a chance to hear it, we had one of our auditors on that show on Saturday that lives in Australia, and she has Clydesdales, so it was really draft horse day here the last couple of days on Horses in the Morning, so she has Clydesdales and was telling, and she does dressage, by the way, Jamie.
Dressage Clydesdales in Australia?
Yes.
That's like the coolest person I've ever met.
I know, and she's really fun, and you can hear that. If you check out your feed, we don't do that show live, but if you check out your feed for Horses in the Morning, you'll find that. Well, next up, we have a guest brought to us today by Omega Alpha Products, our title sponsor, and that is Yvonne Bartow, who's going to be competing in the makeover at the end of the month that we've been talking a lot about, and of course, that's the Retired Racehorse Project makeover that's going to be in Lexington, Kentucky. She has a little competition this year because I think there's 500 people that are bringing thoroughbreds to the competition. Yvonne, you are a dressage rider, is that right?
Yes, I am. My husband and I are KYB Dressage. He's the Kim, I'm the Yvonne, and the B is our last name, Bartow. So we're KYB Dressage out of Maple Park, Illinois right now. But we met and married at the Arabian Nights Dinner Theater in Orlando, Florida.
Really?
Where we worked for many years.
Yes. Is that right? That's so cool. My wife and I actually met at the Pennsylvania Renaissance Fair, so I get it.
Hold up. Did you tell me you just met and married a dressage guy?
No, he was a dressage guy, but he was a head trainer at the Arabian Nights Dinner Theater, so he has a pretty diverse education. I can't say he's a dressage guy, but he kind of is now, but he's really well known for his Liberty work. He's one of the world's best Liberty horse trainers and trick horse trainers, but he's also an FEI dressage rider and trainer.
Oh my God, touchdown.
We probably saw you guys a bunch of times. We over the last 30 years or 20 years, we had gone there many, many times. We did a show from there, actually, too.
Oh, really? Then you probably met him.
Yeah, probably
and
did.
Me, you might have met me, too. I was only there 5 years, but my husband was there for 10 years, and Mark Miller, who's Basie Tankersley's son with Almara Arabian, he's one of my husband's best friends, and so they've been friends forever, and he worked for that family for 20 years. Actually, maybe I should go find Kim and put him on the show, huh?
Well, Mark actually was, we went down and saw him not too long ago at his farm down there, still outside of Orlando.
My daughter Cassie works for him now, so it is a small revolving world.
It is a small world. Well, now we're here to talk about though your off the track thoroughbred that you're training up for the Retired Racehorse Project Thoroughbred Makeover Challenge, which is happening in 2 weeks. So you don't have a whole lot of time left. But tell us about the story of a loser, which I love this article that about your horse whose name is 72.
Yes, his name is 72, and I guess I talked to one of the trainers that trained him on the racetrack, and they called him Shorty on the racetrack, but his nickname is now Indy, and that kind of fits him. And he is a funny little duck of a character, I will say. I mean, I've been around horses a long time, wrote a book on horse personalities. I worked on the track for 7 years, so I know race horses, and I know temperament. And he's funny. He's charming. I love him now. And he's probably going to end up staying with me, and I'll train him to FEI. He acts like he wants to get trained, but he wants to argue about everything, and then he's like, okay, on the other end of it. But he loves a good argument, and you know, I can't even deny him that. He's just like, we're going to argue about it, and then I'll do it, but we're going to argue. And it's super annoying to me, because I'm just like, do it. We just did it yesterday. And so he's not, I wouldn't call him 100% reliable right now, but he knows quite a bit. He's wicked smart. I mean, smart, smart, smart. And so he learns stuff really fast. And then he learns like, well, what if I didn't? What if I didn't want to? And I honestly think racing, he didn't want to race. He just didn't try. The trainer said he was never out of breath the whole time he had him. He races and never gets out of breath. So he said even when he won, he couldn't like blow out a match when he was done. So I'm like, wow, you little slacker. You never tried. And he's like, nope, I didn't. So he's just funny. And he sweats, but he doesn't get out of breath. So he probably could go do the Tevis Cup like at full speed, you know, which is for him saving himself, and probably get away with it and not be out of breath in that either. So he's learned from Liberty work. He's learned how to lay down. He's practicing having a picnic. That's going to be his job. He thinks it's a good job. He has to work a little bit. Then he lays on a blanket and eats carrots out of a basket. So he thinks that's a great job. And so he does that every day, gets to practice every day.
What division are you taking him in?
I'm going to do the regular dressage, which is just a training level test, which he, of course, if he stays with me and behaves, he can do quite well. I mean, even for regular dressage standards. So he's got that going on, but I haven't had him down center line anywhere. I haven't practiced anywhere. And he's just been on the farm since he got here in February. And I was kind of late to the game. I think some, you know, other trainers got their horses. I think you could get them as early as last October. And I didn't even know, unfortunately, about the Racehorse Challenge until about middle of January, right when it was closing the nominations. And anyway, I got in and then I had to look for a horse, and I actually wanted to find a gelding and one that was not very good, like, you know, that was a bit of a loser, because I worry that some horses end up in a bad place. So I was like, okay, and I only bought him off of walking and trotting in hand on a driveway. And I was like, okay, he looks like he's sound enough, put him on a trailer.
That's how you buy racehorses.
That's right.
Yeah, and so when I got here, it was just a big fun game to figure him out and see what's going on. And Patty, who's my rep at Omega Alpha, she sent me some products because he was kind of wrongly muscled and a bit underweight, wrongly muscled for what I want anyway, and a little bit underweight and kind of weedy looking. And I always worry about horses' digestive, and so we just ran him through the digestive program they have, which is the RegenerEQ, the Regenerec, and then the GastroFX and the Biotic Aid in his food. And he looks like a different horse. I have videos from the beginning to the end with him. And he looks beautiful now. He's actually beautiful. So I don't know if you saw any pictures of him or anything, but he really is now a pretty, pretty horse. And of course, because I love him now, he gets more beautiful all the time. But, you know, that's personal opinion.
You know what? Let me just point out here, Glenn, that we started out talking to her. She was talking about her husband, her job, and da-da-da-da-da. And then she starts talking about her horse. And it is a mile a minute. Girl, there is no way you're not going home with that horse. You must be crazy. You love this thing. It's pieces. I just love that you love him so much. You just totally got animated and talking fast, like we do when the teenage girl meets a boy at school and they come home and they're like, oh my God, I just love Scott. You know, that's exactly.
And apparently she likes the bad boys a little bit too. You know, the ones that argue a lot. Apparently that's what she likes. Yeah.
My stallion that I trained to, I've had, I don't know, probably 5 or 6 horses to Grand Prix myself, but the stallion I trained to Grand Prix was a real handful, and I didn't get him till 7 years old, and he was training level at 7, and he still is the most winning horse in United States dressage history, and he was quite a character as well, and he's stabled right across from Indy, and I go visit them both every day first thing in the morning, and Ray's kind of retired. He does a little bit of showbiz stuff now, and he's in our new movie, Into the Spotlight, which is a documentary where we're featuring Indies in it too. Racehorses in general, but Indy in particular with his little journey. And anyway, it's a full-length documentary that's going to be at the Equus Film Festival. And
oh, cool.
Indy's in that,
cool.
And Ray's in that. So it's kind of, it's kind of fun. So I get Indy out almost every morning first thing and, you know, bring him out in the field because it's a lot of room. And that way he gets to make choices often to run around and show me how fast he is and not pay attention. And then he comes in and he starts to work a little bit. So when I take him, he may just run around and show everybody how fast he was and he didn't bother to try on the racetrack, but look how fast he can go when I turn him loose. And if that happens in the freestyle, well, he's going to do that. He did ask me a question and it was dressage and freestyle. That's what I'm doing there. So the dressage has to be by the book and the freestyle is going to be what I want, maybe, or what he wants, possibly. So it's going to be something fun.
Well, that's the nice thing about freestyle. Whatever he does, go with it. Just go with it.
Just go with it.
Yeah, just that's exactly what you planned.
Since I'm so biz, I can just style at him, and I can say, look, he's born to run. Look at him.
Yeah.
Here he goes. And let him run around the ring. If he does get up on his little pedestal and do his liberty work and do his lay down, we're right now deciding what kind of costuming and music we're going to have for our The freestyle will be some riding, some having a picnic because that's his favorite part, and then doing a little bit of pedestal work and maybe some liberty work if he decides that he will. So that's our plan.
Now, let me go back to the Omega Alpha because I feel like you just set him up for success because the products that you've mentioned, I have also put horses through the Regenerec and the GastroFX and the Biotic Aid. And I think you said you used one more.
Well, I use a lot more, actually. I use I put him, even though I don't think there's anything wrong with him, I put him on the anti-flam and the Fanu just because he is working a lot. I'm working him twice a day often now. And you don't know. They can't speak. So you don't know if they have any little aches and pains or anything. So those two, actually, all of those products helped Ray be so successful for so many years. I mean, I ended up doing a lot less vet work on him and keeping him going for a lot longer with just those products. And so it was an easy thing to say, yes, I do want to have Indy on the exact same thing. And even though I don't see any issues with him, I'd rather not. And so if we just keep any issues invisible with the products, then I'm fine with that. And they are the best nutritional products I've ever used. And I've been around. I'm not just spring chicken anymore.
Yeah, and that begs a question too, because all of Omega Alpha products are non-testable and they're all legal. Is in the Thoroughbred Makeover, is there a drug policy?
I believe it's the same as regular shows, but I haven't actually checked on that. But it wouldn't matter because, of course, he can still stay on his same things that he has had, and that's all he has. So I don't know anything about that, and that's all Indy needs anyway, is what he has. So I'm not sure.
I wouldn't be able to answer that probably.
Well, that's because you don't need it. So you don't need to break the rules. Or you need to know the rules because it doesn't matter. Is the title, I love the fact that you're like, I'm going to send him in there. And if he runs around, shows everybody how fast he is, not great. Except for the fact that your DVD is called 72, The Story of a Loser. Why The Story of a Loser? How many races did he lose?
Well, he lost, he had 42 races and he lost 40 of them. And the ones he won were like, one was a cheap maiden claiming race, not just a maiden race, but a maiden claiming race. And then the other one was a claiming race that he won. And I, you know, when he stood up and won, he acted like, okay, he's going to see the light now and he's going to be good. And he's like, nah, that was a fluke. And he just didn't like try anymore. So he just, I don't think he wanted to race. I mean, he just acted like that. And I spent a lot of time on the racetrack studying horses and watching them. And a lot of horses, they don't actually know what they're doing on the track. I mean, I went to the racetrack out of high school and I was like, that was my college. And I watched all the horses and watched their little faces and watched the training sets. And I could tell some of them were just like running around like, hey, we're all having a good time. We're all running together. This is great. And some knew that they were supposed to be in front, and they would even eyeball the other horses and tell them, get back. Don't even be near me. And they're like, okay, man, go ahead. And so the personalities of the horses comes up in the race horses. And Indy, actually, he's a little bit aloof, and then he's challenging behind it. So he kind of ignores you for a while, and then he argues. And so that's, like, super charming for a racehorse because he's probably like, nah. Okay, I'm not doing it. And so it's probably was his whole attitude there because, I've met a number of horses like Indy before. Not exactly like him, but similar. And he just reminds me of that kind of horse, and I know how they are, and I also know how you can get them to do stuff even if they don't want to. And I've actually fooled him into thinking he's been training me. Like, he thinks he trained me to teach him to lay down and eat carrots, and he thinks that's a great deal. And then, you know, he's got all kinds of little deals, and I always make it seem like he's training me. So he thinks he's the trainer.
You know, I have a
Hackney. Which is fine. I don't care.
I have a Hackney pony, and I've owned other Hackney ponies, and they're the same. They're a lot like thoroughbreds in that way. You really have. They like to think that they're training you, that they're in charge, and you're just there for the carrots. So that's
yes. What, yeah. And so the timing of when you get out of the process is important. That's the training process for them. It's not what you do to make them do what you do. It's your reaction to their response. And then they start thinking, that's it. See, I'm making her back off, or I'm making her give me carrots. I'm making her do this because I do this. And it just works out great for him. And so he actually likes me. He looks at me all the time. He hears my voice. He's just like Ray, you know, he knows when I'm in the barn and he's already looking as I come around the corner. He knows. So that much I know, that we have a partnership.
Well, you're
how
his,
well it's going to hold up, I don't know.
You're his carrot garden. You know, he knows where that comes from.
It's like me when I walk out to see all my horses. What do they? I see beautiful horses. They see a big giant carrot.
Yeah, exactly.
Walking towards them.
That's right. A big bag
exactly
of grain.
A dispenser. Actually, more of a dispenser, a carrot dispenser. Yes. That's what I am. And so he has to lay down on the ground. And actually now when he sees his blanket, he's like Linus with his blanket. Because I'm trying to make him do his whole thing faster. So we're running from the pedestal to the blanket. And he sees the blanket. And often, you know, I just like put it out in front of him like you're putting a blanket out for a picnic, and he already starts crumpling up. You know, he doesn't even, I don't have to ask him. He's like, all right, this is cool. And he'll just like crumple up and eat his carrots. And I'm like, good job, go fast. And so that's what we're doing.
Well, Yvonne, thank you so much for joining us today. We're running out of time here, and we want to thank Omega Alpha. It's OmegaAlphaEquine.com is where you can find all the products that Yvonne talked about today. Where can people find you again? What's your website? And will there be information about your film on the website?
Yes, KYB Dressage is our website, kybdressage.com. Also Facebook, KYB Dressage, and then Into the Spotlight. And then Indy's movie, of course, I'm going to get more footage at the makeover. And then his six-month journey with me is going to be end up being his movie, 72, The Story of a Loser. And however he works out, he's not really a loser. That's not true. It's just that he didn't win a lot on the races. I don't think he's a loser, but it's a cute title.
I like the title, you know, actually. It's catchy.
I do too.
Yeah.
I do too. But, you know, it's when I'm gambling and betting and I bet 42 races, if I win two, I'm pretty happy.
There you go.
So there you go. So The Story of a Loser, and then we could put, but not really.
underneath.
we need a movie about Jamie, the story of a loser. Well, thanks, Yvonne. We appreciate you joining us, and good luck at the makeover.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right,
bye-bye.
Take care. God, it seems like we've been talking about this year's makeover forever. We have, for a year. But it's here now. It's going to be here in 2 weeks.
Getting close. I have a friend that's going to be there, so maybe we'll have to get her on, too.
Yeah, we'll have to get some reports. I'm sure we'll know lots of people there, and we'll get some reports from Kentucky during that time. Now, when is the Breeders' Cup?
The first weekend in November.
November. Okay, so that's coming up, too. We got a lot to talk about here coming up. A lot going on.
I know. Let's see, my birthday's next week. My husband wants to take me on a hot date. And then I've got, on the 23rd, I fly to Monty Roberts for the week to do my intro level testing, which is
a whole
insanely
week?
Hard. It's 24th to the 28th, 5 days. So I'll be broadcasting from there. The next weekend after that is the Breeders' Cup. And I do believe I'm going to go to a show jumping competition also. So this is going to be fun.
And then holiday season starts.
I don't want to talk about it. when is the Forever show we're doing? What's it called?
The Radiothon?
Yeah.
Forever show?
The Forever show.
The 12 hours live. Radiothon is on Cyber Monday, which is November 28th. This year. Yep, it's always going to be Cyber Monday, so that's November 28th. And we're working on getting some big guests lined up. So keep your fingers crossed that we can get them
join our
down.
Forever show.
Forever show. Hopefully it'll go a little easier this year. We're getting more help involved. So hopefully it'll go a little easier for those of us in the studio. Well, it was a treat. All right, that's it. That's it for today. Tomorrow, we have the endurance episode. Karen Chatton's going to be back. And then Jamie will be back here on Wednesday. Thursday's Mary Kitzmiller. We're going to hear all about her travels. She's been posting the most gorgeous pictures on her journey back from Washington State to Texas.
All I ever see of her is goat pictures. So.
Yes, and her goat. Yeah. She loves her goat. and then Friday, really bad ads. We'll be back, we promise. We promise we're going to have some really bad ads. I know it's been
you
a couple of weeks.
You said that last week, so
I
just know. Be careful.
I see
promising.
No hurricanes in the forecast. We should be okay, and we'll get really bad ads back. We promise we'll be back.
All right. That's everybody have a great day, Spay Neuter Geld.
Okay, take care, everybody. Where's the music?